This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, friend, and thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV to talk about Mr. Robot Season 2, Episode 7, Handshake. We're going to talk about Joanna. We're going to talk about Elliot. We're going to talk about Angela. We're going to talk about Mr. Robot. We're also going to have a twist ending where we're going to reveal we were the Verge the whole time.
What?
Stick with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah. The bed is all here.
We got it for the first time. Right?
I know. This
first,
is like
the first
epic.
Time we've
this
had everyone epic. Here.
For the very first time, yeah. Do not count how many episodes it's been. We are here for the Mr. Robot After Show here at AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah.
I want to jump right into it, so I'm just going to let you know where you can find me. I'm at Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KaufMann.
And I'm Taylor Bolt. You can find me on Twitter at Taybolt. That's TayBoldt. And on Instagram at Taybolt. Also BOLDT.
Taybolt?
What? Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? Ashley, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Ashley_Chapman. Let's talk about it.
All right, and what is up? Shout out to the chat roll. If you guys are watching this live, send us all your comments. We're going to throw them in the show. If we don't have enough voices, throw yours in as well. I'm
Please.
JC Rubio. Find me on JC Rubio TV, on Instagram, Twitter, all across the board. And let's start talking.
Yeah, I need that cantenna from the episode because the Wi-Fi... Trying to hook up so I can get all up on this chat.
Right.
Let's talk about Joanna Tyrell, the package, the blood.
I'm glad that we started with this because I was kind of hurting last week. We didn't get any Joanna at all. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's
Worried
going? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's
too.
Going on over there?
Okay. We got her on the front page of a magazine briefly.
Yeah, I don't really count that. You know, I need some.
You
story.
Need some actual Joanna.
Yeah.
So
we got a lot. I feel like we got a lot.
We know what's
episode.
In the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an ultrasound picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do we know what that means?
Of course not.
No. Very cryptic.
A little cryptic.
To be expected.
Does that mean I appreciate and love... does that somehow mean I'm Tyrell Wellick, I'm alive, and this baby is the only thing that's keeping me alive? Or does it say the exact opposite? I'm Tyrell... I'm actually Elliot. Tyrell Wellick is dead, and your baby's next.
I don't know
like
about Tyrell being dead. Just we're gonna get
we're gonna get there.
I'm not convinced.
No, but
seems, no one is convinced.
Seems, yeah, that seems a little easy.
To me, it's almost ships crossing. She seems like she's severing the relationship. She's done. She's out. That's why even on the tease when you open the show, she said, "I no longer want to be with you."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She took all those steps.
She said, "I no longer want to be married to you, to a man like you."
Yeah.
To something.
Like,
I no longer want to be married.
Okay.
Yeah, which I didn't notice the first time around, but I feel like my investigative eye has gotten a little bit more honed.
No,
that's
the important
part.
You know, I thought it was interesting that, you know, the scene that we had, so we initially thought it was kind of a fake out. He kind of comes downstairs. It's a flashback scene. So I thought it was interesting with the earrings that was the scene that sort of connected her back to the present, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have the scene with the blood. But I just thought it was interesting that of all the flashbacks for her to have and for them to show, that would be the one that they would choose and kind of go with. So I was just trying to figure out, like, what was the real connection there? Was it to show something about Tyrell? Was it to say something about Joanna? Or what did you guys... Did you pick up on that? Or what
yes, there's, up? Yeah. There's an... It was a tie-in to Derek. Because they met at that E-Corp party. He said that later on in the episode.
Oh, okay.
So that was that tie-in, I believe, because it was stressed about Tyrell always buying her presents. He's really good at gift-giving.
Mm. But he's not good at giving her what she needs emotionally, which is
You mean being present? What?
Ooh. It's all love languages, people.
Dr.
It's
Phil. All...
Drop the mic.
Out.
You know what? I feel like a Godiva chocolate amongst a bunch of cow patties.
Dr. Phil. Okay, moving on.
You know what?
You know, it took me a second to even realize that scene was a flashback because I thought it was like a fantasy.
Yeah, same here. Yeah,
which
is
just speaks to the show that it still does that to me, where I'm just like,
this show, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. So, what do we think the blood was about? Do we think it was just a basic she was wearing fur of some type, or that she represented the bourgeoisie that like the anarchy is going after right now?
I think it's more the latter. I think it's because I didn't see any fur, because that's the first thing I looked for.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't. So, like, it makes more sense that it was just, you're some rich lady in the Upper West Side, I'm going to throw blood on you.
Right, right. Which is...
which is just as sheeple as anything else, to be honest.
You know.
Which really makes me wonder, because even though I like the fact that they're kind of showing this new relationship dynamic between her and Derek, I'm not entirely sure if they're showing it to us for the reasons that we think. Like, I don't feel like traditional love stories really work in this show. So if there's a relationship dynamic between her, if they're actually putting them on screen and giving them that screen time, I'm just having a hard time coping with, okay, she's finding love and she's going to divorce Tyrell and then they're going to be happy and kind of move on with their married little lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to like really dissect and sort of think about, you know, why is this important? Like, why are we really spending time focusing on this? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just simply because Tyrell's gone and I feel like I can be an independent, liberated woman who makes my own decisions. It's deeper than that, for sure.
What I will say, I don't think Tyrell is gone, because I don't think that Joanna would be as central a character as she was in this episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's still like story.
There's lingering stuff there.
There for sure. And I think that she's the kind of person that has a master plan. You know, I think that she's probably has the biggest scheme of anyone in the show.
Well, let me add to that. On the chat roll, let's see. Joanna is working a long con, and that's from PC. I kind of agree, because even in the open of the show, you hear Joanna telling Derek he can't give her what she needs as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot left to be told still. And Sam Esmail said himself that she's Lady Macbeth in this whole thing.
I like this.
Well, also, the thing is that I'm still trying to figure out is, not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but if Elliot / Mr. Robot really did shoot Tyrell with the gun that he found in the popcorn, how did he wake up in the SUV with the parking attendant that Joanna has paid off?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She's involved.
Yeah, she's got it. There's more to this. We've not...
Within the... What I believe we know to be at least a missing 5 to 7 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we just about know Joanna was involved.
She has,
and like the way she looked at him puzzlingly at the season finale of season one, of like, you've never, like, it was a face of like, you've really never spoken to me before. Like, you really don't think you've spoken to me. Like, I think they've interacted.
I think they've interacted, but I don't think that she knows where Tyrell, I honestly think she doesn't know where Tyrell is.
I agree too.
I don't think that she is in cahoots with him in anything that's going on. I actually think, well, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I do think Tyrell is still alive, but I don't think that he's in a situation where he can really communicate with a lot of people. So,
right.
Yeah.
I feel like there will be a lot of Joanna in the predictions.
Yeah.
I think we need to just...
Joanna.
Jump on into Elliot. We're going to talk about Elliot in the world we knew before the end of this episode, where he was working with Ray to migrate Midland City, the website.
Yeah.
To migrate Midland City, the website, to and like the dark side of his brain, or the curious part of Elliot's brain that allows him to not let bad people do bad things on his internet.
Yeah, and I saw
the internet.
The internet, no, but his internet. Yeah,
his, I think, but like, to a certain extent, his ideal of the internet.
Well, just part of it, I think part of the culture of all of it is that you feel possessive of the... You know, I think that's something that's safe to say, like, you know,
his
as
internet,
a part of,
like,
hacker culture in general. Is
or just, like, tech culture in general. Although,
yeah,
I guess
culture,
you could call Snowden, you would call Snowden a hacker, too, but, like, that was always made clear whenever you hear an interview with Edward Snowden, is, like, it's my, like, I grew up in a time where, like, the internet was so democratized of information, and discussion. Right. That, like, to see people go after it and destroy it.
Yeah.
And, like, make it a place for bad things.
Right.
Let's wait till the very end to discuss whether we think Midland City was an actual website. I think we all have a theory on it, but let's talk about it as it existed.
I do have a theory, yeah.
Let's talk about it as it existed, that it was essentially only had Tor access. Tor is a VPN browser that you could only...
So there's a VPN and then there's Tor.
Okay.
So a VPN is, they're like two separate things, but they do a similar thing. So a VPN is like, I'm going to look at something, I'm going to browse for something, but I'm routing myself to a specific server owned by like a company or someone else that can set it up. So it'll be like, I go through this place in Switzerland and then access so that the website goes to Switzerland and then to me.
Got it.
A Tor, from what Tor browsing, for what I understand, it's like the Onion router thing, is it does kind of that, but a ton of times, really randomly.
For everyone.
And the idea is that at least one time it passes through a hub in a country that does not have to give away any sort of documents. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete
sense. So that it becomes untraceable, because if you start to trace it, you'll just have to keep tracing it
so far.
Because
eventually you'll trace it to Sweden or Switzerland.
I don't know if Switzerland's one, but like Azerbaijan, like there's like some country where it's
without,
like...
without an extradition or without proper documentation or without...
And then it dies
because
they
can't. Out of the EU or anything like that. Okay, thank you. Yeah. I did not quite know what Tor was. I thought it was the same as VPN.
Tor stands for the Onion Router.
Okay.
My understanding, which is just like the onion thing is like the layers. So this was good. I feel like this is good.
Not the comedy website.
You're really knowledgeable.
I looked up some of this stuff. Yeah.
Not the router.
Did research.
Yeah.
Who do we have engineering in the back? Yeah. Give us like that more you know kind of little jingle. The more you know.
We'll get there.
We'll queue it up.
We'll get there.
It was good.
So it was on a tour.
Oh, thank you.
You're not happy with the way you look. There we go. On the outside. Maybe you're not looking closely enough on the inside. Because the only thing that matters is who we are in here.
Thank you, Booth.
Okay.
That was kind of emotional.
Thank you. That was emotional. I am somebody. Thank you.
So what happened is the site was, and I know there's sites like this where you have to be using a specific browser to even access it. And it's usually the Onion router. So it's like the specific, because there's an Onion browser that's like, it's like Chrome, Firefox, this thing. So he took it and in the migration, I guess, just made it so you can look at it on Firefox or Chrome or whatever.
And then that brought it up on FBI's
up on the FBI's within a week. Why do we think Ray let him do this?
That's my question.
So I think that, because at first I was like, okay, he's totally bullshitting him with this whole story about his wife and that whole thing. But I actually kind of believe him. I think that, because if we're going to believe now that in this reality, like maybe Ray was a warden or a counselor or somebody who worked at the prison, you know, a guy who probably started off with like cool intentions, and then when his wife passed away, you know, it just kind of turned him for the worst. And once he had a hold of this, you know, he was probably making a whole bunch of money from it. It just became an animal that he probably lost control of, and he just turned into this person who felt like he needed to do it because with his wife gone, you know, maybe he felt like he didn't have as much purpose. But I think ultimately his conscience, I think that's what allowed him to let Elliot do it. I think he realized like, okay, what we've been doing to this guy is wrong. And I think in a second, he kind of allowed Elliot to let him in.
Basically. So you don't believe him saying he had his head buried in the sand? He was just...
That he never looked?
Yeah.
I think that maybe he never, but he knew what was on there. Like
he definitely knew it was bad.
I
don't know if he knew how bad.
But I think that maybe, yes, I think it's possible because when you don't know, you know, like ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped to resolve him of any guilt or just resolve him of like really feeling the weight of what he was doing, you know, because it was horrible what was going on in those sites, but he still needed to make that money. So if I don't look, if I don't see it, then it doesn't exist. Yeah. So
I gotta be honest, it felt too easy. You know what I mean? Which makes me like not really trust it. Like it seemed like I was like, how is Elliot gonna get out of this?
Yeah. Right.
And then he just did. And it seemed like, I mean, I guess I think what Ray was trying to explain is that he didn't look, and then when for whatever reason, when Elliot looked, he decided to look. Yeah. And then when he looked and realized how bad it was, he was saying, like, he basically just let him do it. But I still seems kind of easy.
But there were a lot of players involved at this point. You know, you had people on the site. You had a lot of the prisoners we find out that are on the site. Like, you had a lot of users. So once he found out, I don't think it could have been a situation where he could have just been like, okay, I'm shutting down the site. I'm closing it. Sure. That's it. You know. I think it was, in a way, he allowed Elliot to give him an out.
And I think sometimes people in life use what I like to call an arbitrary decider.
Yeah.
Which is similar to, like, if you were two...
I want to hear this theory, yeah.
If you were two siblings, and you both, one of you wanted to sit in the seat with your father or mother.
Yeah. Mm.
The father or mother would eventually have to just decide who gets to sit in the front seat, or if no one gets to sit in the front seat. I consider that an arbitrary decider, which is neither of you got to make that decision, therefore it's fair to both of you. Mm-hmm. And you can do that within your own head of a confliction of, I really want to go to Carl's Jr. and it's on the left here. If I still hit this green light and I can make this left, I'm going to Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, that's an arbitrary decider. Yeah.
That makes sense. So Elliot is just his arbitrary
decider. Yeah, that Elliot is... I'll get this dude, and if this dude
turns
doesn't
me in.
Look,
yeah.
It's like a coin flip sort of thing. Like, if it's heads, I'll...
Mm-hmm. If this dude doesn't look, then my website stays up.
What do you think this says?
We didn't beat him to a pulp.
on a bigger sense, do you think it's... Esmail was talking about maybe the possibility of the pitfalls of a free market system, of a truly free market. It seems like we're moving more towards, like, anarchy in the show. And I
like the blood throwing thing, because that's what we were talking about, I think, one or two episodes ago, where we were like, I want to see more about, like, how this has affected the world.
We keep hearing that, and, like, we saw that in the Angela Cab ride, and then, like, there was a very decent amount of exposition about it, how, like, they're burning trash, because you can't, the private industries can't afford the trash people.
And we hear about E-Corp's, the E-Coin.
We got an official confirmation that it was essentially a Bitcoin for E-Corp.
Yeah. A lot of references to digital currency. It seems the cool thing, it seems like, in the context of the world, one of the cool things, I think, is that it has legitimized digital currency in a very real way, because all of a sudden the traditional banking systems have collapsed. So it's like the digital currency is almost safer, which I think is an interesting irony, because I read something that like $72 million or something like that in digital currency was just stolen like this past month.
That's from
like some like Hong Kong.
That's right. Cause Bitcoin
bank.
Yeah. The argument is that that's still safer.
And it's true.
I was on a lot of those threads in the Bitcoin day, like the earlier Bitcoin days, back when Greece was having all the stuff that Greece was doing, where there was talk of if Greece left the EU and adopted Bitcoin as a national currency, that Bitcoin would be by default an actual currency, like by default a more standard currency. And people were talking a lot about that, and I think that's what Price wants.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I would.
He wants America. He wants the American dollar to fail. He wants the American dollar to fail, and he wants to
control
new
dollar.
Come in with his own currency.
Smart.
Fans are even saying that. We have Dimitri saying, it's heading towards short-term anarchy. Mm. I wonder if this show will portray one world currency later.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So ooh. Mm. Okay, we need to talk more about Elliot and Red, the one world currency.
A lot of tangents. Yeah. This is a lot of really cool stuff this episode.
What is the name of the gentleman at the Bible study who had a group that tried to attack Elliot?
Were we given his name?
I believe we had his name briefly. Because I remember his face from the very first episode. Oh, and I was like, I've seen this actor in more than one thing. He's coming back.
You did bring that up. He's the one that spoke. He had that story before Elliot gave his fuck religion speech.
Yeah.
I don't remember the character's name, but
chat if you can help us out.
His whole story was like that he did something horribly racist and then was like, but God forgave me. Right. Mm-hmm. That was like his whole thing. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is which is the kind of person who would be on this website.
Sure.
In the universe we are dealing with right now, that this website exists.
We'll get there. We have to
drop the hammer all at once. Leon kills a bunch of people.
Yes. Dang, does he.
Joey Badass.
Yeah.
Was a badass.
And then said, tell White Rose I was good to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think Leon's into?
Okay. Swordplay?
Well, also, yeah, it
he's
finally
like a ninja or something.
Also, not to get too far into the reveal, but this finally helps explain why Leon was watching Seinfeld in 2015.
Mm. Yeah,
because that would be that's a syndicated show that you would watch.
Well, here's
you would watch 5-6 days a week on a local channel that you would probably get in prison.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just something that was accessible.
Well, here's very another little tip of the cap. Remember, you have to pay attention to everything on the show.
Yep.
With Leon, and I believe it was on Reddit that they posted the picture in episode 2. They had Leon, and he's talking to Elliot, and you see a Chinese tattoo of the year of the dragon. And and people are kind of making that correlation perhaps as a little
He's part of the Dark Army.
He's connected to the Dark Army.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me still think that Elliot or Mr. Robot is connected to White Rose, and that a part of him going into prison was sort of a way to, I guess, get him out of the fire while this whole hack thing
goes
down.
I want to know why he went to prison. Like,
well, a lot of people, I think on Reddit, a lot of theories are that he turned himself in. Sure. With the Krista hacking the boyfriend as a way to try and deal with Mr. Robot, and or this was something that he and White Rose had
orchestrated.
Yeah.
Because Krista could have turned him in, I guess, too, right?
Yeah. But I think
it probably is more.
Right?
She found out about that.
True. I think it would make more sense for her visiting him. She feels maybe guilty about the whole thing. Because, you know, if you were really angry with someone enough to send them to jail, I don't know if I'd be there every single week or however often she visited to also give him sessions and provide, you know what I mean?
I didn't get the impression.
Was she there to give him a session, or
it wasn't a legitimate session.
Yeah,
but she offered her advice.
She said once you get out of here, which implied that whatever he did wasn't any of the serious stuff that we know he was involved in. The dog is the key here. The dog was chipped.
Right.
He brought the dog to the vet. They scan the chip at the vet. Uh-huh. I've been saying this for a long time. I thought they were going to drop it, but like nothing ever gets dropped in this show.
Yeah.
The chip that had, what was it?
The chip inside the dog's information.
That had all the what?
The owner's.
Had Lenny's information.
Yeah.
So okay. You take a dog to a vet, they scan the chip, they still treat the dog, they still let you go away, but they keep track of who you were.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too easy, though?
Yeah. And then how would they connect
criminal?
It's the correct... Yeah. The reason I say this is because Lenny said himself at the end of season one, I don't have enough information to put him away.
Yeah.
Meaning he needed the dog.
He had the dog.
He needed something Krista could give him.
She wouldn't give it to him, remember? She denied him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So...
I still think that's probably what it is.
It might be something to do with the leading thing.
Yeah. It's likely a part of a grander plan that hasn't been revealed to us
yet. Of course.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Elliot knew what he was doing when he took the dog to the vet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can actually see that going either way, because I kind of like the idea that the mastermind hacker. Like his, just some small, because that's how you would be found out anyways, it's just some small thing that you overlooked, you know what I mean? Just some tiny thing that was so minuscule that it just slipped your mind to even be concerned
with
it.
Brings you down.
But I also kind of think that Elliot did it intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the careful massacre of the bourgeoisie. Something as simple as that.
I think he tried to make it seem as if he didn't have any control, but he probably had all the control in the world. Yeah. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he needed to shut his mind down. And then he came to himself.
Did you catch that from Johnny Robot?
Yeah, I'm seeing that Johnny Robot in the chat now. That
the dog also ate one of the chips Elliot was going to destroy.
Mm. Oh, I remember
the
that.
The dog literally has information.
I remember that.
We'll back off it.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to prison.
We'll come back.
Right. Or sorry, we're going to come back to Elliot and Ray.
But we don't think it's because of... It has nothing to do with the hack. It has nothing to do with Tyrell.
It can't be anything serious.
Yeah. It can't be that serious.
Otherwise, that would have been all over the news. Okay.
Because it's been all over the news that Tyrell...
Is missing.
Tyrell is missing.
He's wanted.
And presumed the orchestrator of the hack.
Yeah.
So for Elliot to go down for any of it, he would have been at the very least a known informant, and his name would have come up in any of that exposition.
I also think that he would be held in some very... tight prison, or interrogations with the FBI.
Yeah,
you know,
there'd be
more,
something
more
like
stuff
that.
Would be going on if he.
Yeah, he wouldn't be left alone in prison.
Yeah, he wouldn't just be like just a common sort of inmate.
Yeah.
I feel like he would be like a threat to national security.
Angela.
He definitely wouldn't be near a computer.
Yes, Angela
Dom. We had this. we had this showdown, mm-hmm. which I think we all kind of felt wasn't going to be... Like, wasn't going to be, like, the knockdown, drag him out, Dom takes her away in cuffs showdown.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that it was exactly that of just Angela, this verbal joust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Angela eventually kind of came out a little on top until Dom said, like, nope, we're subpoenaing everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or not subpoenaing,
we're just going to bring people in for questions.
We're interviewing everybody, especially you, because you worked at Allsafe right before Allsafe. You left Allsafe right before 5-9. And now you're here.
Dom is sharp.
Yeah.
She is.
My biggest takeaway was the last line from Dom. It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She saw through the programming, in a sense. And it, to me, was slightly reminiscent to last season four, when he was in the dream sequence and Angela told him, you were just born a month ago. And it's kind of what Angela's done this season with her affirmations and this steely, reprogrammed Angela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dom sees right through it.
Of course.
I enjoyed that, too.
Yeah. That was my favorite part of that whole in exchange, which was incredible. I was, okay, personal story. We were watching it, my girlfriend and I, and the tension that Esmail put in that scene they're zeroing in on Angela.
Yeah.
And she's crushing my hand. The tension. I loved it.
It was a great scene because, of course, you know, in those typical moments in TV shows, you can sort of read on the person's face like, oh, shit, I'm caught. And, you know, you can see the nervousness. But she, even though you could tell inside that she was like shitting bricks, she had Darlene on the earpiece and she played it cool, you know, like just as sly. And, oh, yeah, I'd be happy to come anytime. Just like such great, you know, female interaction, stoic. Like just how they can be very sly and. They were speaking a whole different language to each other, mm-hmm. but they were, you know, it was...
I love scenes like that where there's an entire subtext.
Yeah, absolutely. To the scene. A lot of subtext. Mm-hmm.
There's literally a completely different scene happening without any words.
Yeah.
Of like, I know you're full of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Exactly. I know. And what's being said is just like, I know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I know.
You don't know.
No idea.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm dating a guy on that floor.
Yeah.
What a happy accident for her too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I also there were a bunch of theories on Reddit, or at least like people on Reddit saying Angela could have gotten out of all of this by claiming the bathroom on that floor is the nicest bathroom in the whole building.
Oh sure,
for those of us who work in buildings,
uh-huh.
I can attest to you could just be like, ah, restricted or not, that's where I go.
Girl code.
Yeah,
sure.
Restricted or not, I go to that toilet.
I still think it would have been, right? But I think Dom is still.
Well, Dom would have been like, well,
she would have been like, okay.
She wouldn't have believed her. It didn't matter.
Dom would have been like, well, why haven't you been there the last like 3 weeks?
Right. Mm-hmm. And she actually caught her, like on the. She just caught her on the floor, right? She didn't catch her. If you remember,
she like kind of walks out and then sees like three people talking, and then starts walking down the stairs. I think Dom was one of the three people.
Yeah, she was.
Okay,
because she like starts walking towards her and then turns around. I would be suspicious of that if I was who is that person? Oh, they just started walking away from me. Cool.
Juan Chavez in the chat says, "I love that when Dom realized the FBI is hacked, she immediately blamed Angela because Dom is just that's." I love the idea that like there's an entire FBI that doesn't know what's happening, and then there's Dom.
Who else but Dom?
Yeah. Is that fair though?
That's incredibly fair.
She's just. I think she's just like. She's the kind of person that thinks that everything has. There's a reason for everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there is no coincidence. Like you didn't just happen to be there. You know what I mean?
And you didn't just happen to be a part of Allsafe, and it just didn't happen. You didn't happen to leave and go to E Corp. Yeah. You know, right before. Yeah, she's very instinctual, which is.
She's also gotten lucky. I mean, like how she found F Society. Like that was.
Yeah.
That was some luck.
And how Dark Army let her go.
But I think it's also instinct that leads her to certain places.
I think that's part of the plan, too. But still.
We'll find out the second half of the season.
But yeah, it's very interesting.
Let's talk about Angela and Price. And so I can admit that they literally got me.
Mm-hmm.
That when Price said, that's not what I thought, I believed Price at face value.
Mm.
So that when Angela saw through Price and was like, no, that's the soft target. And just went after it and got the class action closed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was actually rather impressive.
Yeah.
Because I thought for once she thought she had a thumb on Price.
Yeah.
And realized that she didn't. When really, no, she did. He just really tried to bluff her off one last time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Price, I mean, does she just have him fooled? Because why would you let her go to the risk?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, why would you put her there?
Yeah,
like it doesn't matter what she just did for the company. Like that seems like you just wouldn't do that. Period. You know, because it seems so clear. Like she just did something really good. Even he says, you know, you're really going to waste the capital on this. She should want to move up the chain.
She could be an executive. She could be a mid-level executive for what she.
If that's what she wants, if she wants to rise in the company, then that's what she should.
Yeah.
She should have led with. It's clear when she asks to move to this place. The risk management, whatever it's called, risk assessment, risk management, whatever it is, that she's driven by her emotions, that she's probably, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's more to it than that.
But she even said it, that when Terry Colby hired me, I'd like to make changes from within. I think she's playing a very clear bluff. She's playing a very clear semi-bluff with Price, which is, I've been, like, my whole life, I've been affected by what happened in risk management.
Yeah.
That if I could make it to risk management, I can do what I did in this class action, which is do a better thing.
Well, but is she playing her hand too early by being so...
No, because it's a semi-bluff. Because we learned that's not her plan. Her plan is to get access to files she shouldn't have access to, so she can then feed it into other people as a mole.
That's what I'm saying. But
it's too early.
Yeah, like, she forced her way into a meeting and asked it point blank right away. And she kind of just gave herself away, didn't she?
So that leads me to believe that there's something else.
Yeah.
It has to be, because why would you... She keeps making that same mistake over and over, showing her hand too early. And I don't believe that she's like that.
But no, it's still a semi-bluff. Because I think... Does Price see through her? I think Price knows that. I think Price honestly thinks that's her hand.
No, I think so. I think from day one, I think just like Dom, Price is very good with reading people, and he's really good at reading people's motivations. And I think he knew bringing her in, I think he, from her personality, I think he could kind of gauge where she was going to go. So I think he, of course, there is a master plan. Whether or not the whole contingency and closing the class action suit was really what he wanted, or he just wanted to allow her to think that she had a leg up on him with that whole situation in order for her. So I don't know what the end game is, but I don't think that Angela has pulled the wool over his eyes quite yet. I think that it's all strategic and he's leading her into a specific place that's going to blow up in her face.
Because you think that he really has the upper hand then?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Okay.
I think that he doesn't have the upper hand in other areas, but in situations like this, like, and thinking back at all their interactions where he said really just weird things or, you know, just stuff has come out and he shared, I think it was all just him trying to gauge where she is and what she's going to do.
And I want to tell you something. I thought the same too. I even tweeted that yesterday. I said my prediction for last night's episode was the fall or getting close to the fall of Price. And actually, Who Is Mr. Robot tweeted me back with a GIF saying, it's all about the long con. And it played it over and over. And I was like, okay, so he's not out yet. Because next week's title led me to believe that as well, too. And we'll get into that later.
And it's GIF. But whatever.
It's GIF. I found out 2 weeks.
Jiffy. So the person who created it says GIF. I think that it should be GIF because it's graphic. It stands for graphic. But the creator says GIF.
But I think it's just because the
creator's wrong.
He needed three words for a Webby, and he thought he controlled the world.
He's an unreliable narrator.
I think it should be GIF.
I think it is GIF.
Okay. Welcome to Mr. Robot After Show.
Okay, but are we discussing GIF?
We've covered a lot today. GIFs
and Tor.
Peanut butter aside, GIFs aside. Okay. Yeah. The bigger point is, okay, who is she with the secret evil agenda by Price? Is it Dark Army? Is he protecting the Colton mines? Is he protecting that warehouse that White Rose brought up 2 weeks ago, like two episodes ago? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know by the removal of that contingency. That's what I don't understand. And do you guys, of course, you know I noticed the silly stuff. The painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people said it was Titanic, but actually one of our fans said...
The humorists... We're talking. Oh no!
The painting. The painting
with Price and Angela. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I believe the fan's name was Susan, and she said it was showing Price underwater.
Yeah.
Because last week he was just about to go underwater, and this week the painting he was under the water.
And we even got this moment that he's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like today's my birthday. Don't worry. Like I keep my birthday to myself. Yeah. Would you like to go and celebrate? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
I loved that scene.
Well, but there's also been this like creepy
tension between the two of them.
But like too. A creepy, almost sexual tension?
No, or at not least. Almost. Is very
well, yeah.
Like a one-sided sexual tension?
Yeah.
I would say.
Let the girl tell us. Okay, what do
no,
we...
Oh, yeah, that's definitely sexual.
Oh, one-sided when she was going to go to that date, she was saying affirmations like, you are desirable. Yeah. You are, you know, before she went on the date that ended up being, you know, with the two other executives there.
And then with the other executive, you know, who basically, who ended the meeting, adjourned the meeting, you know, and he was like, you know, you want to know what Price told me? He said that I basically can do whatever I want with you. So I think that there is, I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's a mixture of them being powerful men, and sometimes powerful men, they want to sexualize women and basically pass them around. But it's also because of who Angela is and the role that she played in this contingency, or the full role that she plays, which we probably don't yet know. It's just an opportunity for them to kind of mess with her and toy with her, manipulate her and confuse her and get her off of her rocker so that she doesn't really follow what's happening behind the scenes.
Here's the big question. What's Angela's endgame? That's driving me crazy. That more than Elliot this season, what is...
Susan in the chat says that Angela's playing Price. I believe that.
I want to believe it, and I kind of do.
I think she is such small potatoes to Price.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That he's either willfully being played or he's genuinely believing, no, she wants to get all this information to be a greater good, because I wouldn't be surprised if... Within that meeting where she wanted to run down a list where she had access to all these files, that she runs to Price one more time and Price says, just give her what she wants.
It just seemed too obvious.
It seemed too forced.
It seems really forced, which makes me think, because I don't think that she got where she is with, you know, with blunders like that. Yeah. You know, so this is what clearly looks like a blunder that she just made by like playing her hand, showing her hand and being like, I want access to these files.
Yeah, all I need
and
is access.
I don't, you know, think,
it just seemed, it just seemed too, like, okay, on the nose, like, you, why do you really want access to these files?
She's up to something far deeper than we anticipate.
And remember her conversation with her dad, you know, with her dad saying, like, I don't even know who you've become. I don't even know if I trust you. You know what I'm saying? So I think that even he's seen a transformation in her. Maybe she started off with this intention. Maybe she has this idea, but it's starting to get muddied a bit, I think.
Yes, exactly. Sam Esmail spoke about that himself, because he wanted us to go through the journey with Elliot, see it through his eyes. We're doing it in real time. And I think he wants us to do the same with Angela.
Yeah.
Because harken back, just look at her, how they dressed her in the first season in a lot of white. In the first half of this season, all black.
Blacks. Yeah.
And now, last night, it was white and black. Mm. So she's kind of torn. We don't know which way she's going to go.
Interesting.
She doesn't even know which way she's going to go, I think.
To end us on a bit of a mind F, Teodris Malchow in the chat just pretty much said, what if Angela's mom, while she worked at E-Corp, had an affair with Price, and that Price is Angela's biological father?
Oh, that's a straight up Maury right there, Holmes.
That is,
you are the father.
That is a straight up Maury. It's fun to think. It's fun to think about. We don't know much about Angela's mother, but we're pretty sure she wasn't. She wouldn't have really been on the level.
Yeah,
to it seems work too with, gotcha for me.
Yeah, like it seems too gotcha. We don't know where Price came up through. If he was always an executive,
and Price's interaction with Angela, that'd be too freaking creepy. You don't
know. Would he know? Would he know?
I think he would know.
Yeah. He would absolutely know, and it would be on par with the prices. I think it's a fun thing to talk about. I don't think that's where the show's going.
If I want to take it a step further,
In one multiverse. She is.
She is Price's father.
Yeah. She is Price's father. Yeah, she is Price's father in one of the multiverses.
One of the multiverses.
For sure.
I don't know if you guys caught the HitFlix article. It came out yesterday, so if we had time for it. It was an interview with Sam Esmail, and he spoke inadvertently that this season ended up being somewhat of an homage to Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. I'm leaving
Angela
it.
Strikes
he didn't.
Back?
He didn't mean to do it like that. People are theorizing maybe it's just in his DNA, and that's, you know, that just maybe it's sprinkled out throughout without him really knowing, but who knows?
So we're going to talk a lot more about world currency. Around predictions at the end. Let's jump into Darlene F. Society, FBI, and what I've coined the bull drop.
Yeah.
First off,
drop the ball.
That was so cool.
I love John Boehner's performance. He was so in a great acting.
Right.
Sorry.
No, I think the Bull's balls actually did better acting. It was, so, you know, just so, you know, totally. Just came in strong.
Yeah,
so
you gotta make strong choices. Yeah.
Just only because, just gotta drop only because we have a minute to nitpick it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How logistically, how would you get it into the, like, how would you do that?
I don't know if it's, you would have to almost, I think you'd have to, like, almost shoot it from above, like, drop it. So with enough force that it
or you would have to hide
all
it,
of the levels of the Capitol.
Or you would have to hide it in a way that you can time when it'll fall over and actually fall through the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, but even then, like to sneak into the Capitol building,
it doesn't seem
ever.
Like it's that heavy. Period. Like because I mean, people were holding it in their hands. It's,
but
it's not
like a
like
drop ceiling, though. Like a
how
drop
did they
ceiling,
get there?
It,
and
yeah, and you gotta know. You gotta have layout of the Capitol, yeah. A professional,
this isn't
a
just
super
a hack,
professional.
You know?
This is not a hack, and they're not people who like get their hands dirty like
yeah,
that. So they would have to hire somebody. But then I'm like, where were you guys getting the money to hire?
Maybe this is a shout out to their new game, Exfiltration, where it's I don't know if you get it's the new game for Mr. Robot on your mobile phone, where you go on a mission and it's somewhere between episodes 5 and 6 of season 1, and you're interacting in real time, and it's via text. And you help them on a mission, so maybe this could be part two of it for like the game for
a shameless plug. Yeah, you know?
It's not. I'm kidding.
But I think that
guys, I'm just gonna play this game forever. Go.
I didn't know. I thought you were kidding for a second.
No, it's an actual game. It came out yesterday.
I saw the commercial for it.
Yeah, the e-code messaging.
I'm already.
I got an email.
You play by text.
Mm-hmm. It's something like I haven't had a chance to play it. I downloaded it, but it's
I would love
Telltale
that
Games.
I would love that it's Telltale Games does great games,
yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be great. But I would love for it to somehow be an incredibly engaging.
We all find ourselves.
But it's just a prompt where you're just texting.
Yeah,
where you're really just.
No, I think it's
typing in words. I'm sure it has.
It's
to
a
be
lot
more
than
that,
actually.
I just want to be. I want to be playing the game, and I want to find myself like in some weird part of the Capitol building, and just be like, "Whoa!" They inception
figured
me.
Figured it out.
in some sort of air duct.
And you
it's
have
so
it in
falling
your head.
Water.
And
right?
I'm like, "Whoa!" I just totally pulled it out of spaced out.
We have to find out if F Society is foot soldiers, or there's a completely different group of folks who are reporting that society. Mm-hmm. Like there has to be something that like this is not something
maybe
the people
army?
We know about F Society can pull off.
But it wasn't the guy she sent on the mission last week for the ball drop. It's the guy that she. It was she assigned this.
Oh, it was the frat dude.
Yeah.
Oh.
She gave the mission to the guy last
just
week.
The frat boy. Mm.
She wanted him to be the point man, and he was so excited. Oh,
you're
thank
the point
you so
man. This is super important. You're right.
Yeah, she's
but
like,
just
don't be a pussy and do your thing.
Well, no, looks like he was the point man for like all those foot soldiers we saw.
But how did you get it in there? There's security up the wazoo.
Wait, one
I'm
of them,
sure. You know what? I'm sure they're going to create something. We'll find
them,
that out.
Like if one of them's an aide or one of them's a janitor.
Yeah,
works there. Yeah, like it would have to
not,
be somebody inside.
Maybe it's not that
but,
hard. I don't know. I've never
maybe
tried.
We're focusing too much on it. Yeah, they dropped it. They made their statement basically like F Society's still here. We're still going strong. I mean, I don't know if that's what they made the connection, but that was. The statement they were trying to
make. No, I think that's
make.
Absolutely the statement.
But here's the thing. I think they sabotage themselves. Because, okay, F Society is modeled after, let's say, Anonymous. And with Anonymous, there's a little bit of mischief involved.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like a little F you to just everything going on. But on the grander scale, there was a vote for the bailout. And it was about to, and it was going to be turned down. It was going to be denied.
Yeah.
But they suspended the vote because of the ball drop.
Yeah.
So does that give Price and them a
it
moment
does.
To replan?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
Which
to regroup
plays into the greater point that Price is
somehow connected to the Dark Army.
Or well, we kind of know that he.
We kind of know that he.
We kind of
know.
Inadvertently, we know.
Price has the ability. Price has the ability, and like F Society's playing into his hand.
Yeah.
However. What was...
Sorry, I had a smile.
There's some fun happening in the show.
Okay. A lot of balls.
It's from Ona. No, I was surprised Congress was actually doing work.
Oh,
good one.
Political.
Hey.
Nice, thank you. Yes. No, I think, you know, they're all about... from Anonymous to F Society to any like they're it's all about symbolism. It's about these big symbols, like when they had when they burned the money.
Yeah,
well, you know, and
that was
they
a big
took
symbol.
The balls. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It was,
that was a really
the
big
masks
symbol.
Being a symbol when mm-hmm. They took the balls from the bull in the first place. Like all of this, so it's like careful planted but intentional symbols because you want to paint this executive in a bad light. You want to suspend the you want to suspend Congress from being able to cast this vote, but you want to do it in a way that stirs up the emotions of the
public
movement,
sentiment, you know, destroy their confidence. We lose confidence in E Corp and whatnot.
And now we're losing confidence in the government. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
the government failure seems imminent.
Yeah.
In this universe.
Yeah. But in one universe, the government is Angela's father.
Yes, the whole government.
The whole government.
One universe.
Oh, God.
I love the multiverse theory.
In another universe, it's just the whole Senate.
Yeah, just, right.
And in another universe, she is the Supreme Court.
I want to live in that universe.
It is nine Angela.
I choose that universe.
So we're just gonna.
Can we talk about? Can we talk about Elliot? Can we talk about the? Yes. Can we get to the
here now. We have the reveal. Time. We're doing this. For those of you who don't know, how could you not? You're watching this show.
Elliot revealed that he's been in prison this entire time.
Yes.
You nailed that one, man.
I didn't, necessarily.
Well, kinda.
I thought it was more an institution because of the door.
I'm the one at the table who was like, no, they're showing us everything as it exists. He's actually in Washington Township at his parents' house somehow.
Yeah.
And he's self-imprisoned himself.
Yeah.
Were we happy with the reveal?
Yes.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. Because I think it was something, well, it was on a lot of people's minds that either he was in an institution or a prison. And I think we were all trying to figure out if that reveal would happen, when would it happen, and sort of how would it play into, you know, him actually getting out and why he was there. And then also figuring out where Tyrell is. Because I think it's all still very much connected. So it answered a lot of questions I think a lot of people had. And it kind of leads us to different theories about where the fate of certain characters are and then what's going to happen now. So I personally like the reveal, and I thought even though people were saying it and it was kind of becoming like, oh, no, that'd be a cliche plot line, it was still satisfying the way that it happened. Like it didn't land like a cliche. It landed a lot better than it could have.
No, it definitely hit right.
Yeah.
It definitely felt right. It was definitely in the style of the show that, like, last week I was dead set. Like, no, all of these things are totally happening. And then I even conceded at some point.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go that way, they're probably going to convince me in under 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I've been wrong and that they've revealed it properly.
And it actually took, like, 3 minutes, right?
Like, pretty much it took, like, 3 minutes. Like, nope, all right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
How do we trust them moving this, you know, moving forward?
Well, Elliot says that you can trust him.
He's not going to lie to us anymore.
He's not going to lie to us.
He's the reliable narrator now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Mr. Robot said he wouldn't lie to Elliot, and Elliot told us.
I know, but I was being sarcastic. There's no way to trust anything ever.
No. I think he's on the level this time.
Yeah?
I'm feeling it.
Oh, man.
I want to know... is because we saw the reveal of like the cafeteria and the basketball court and all this stuff.
And that the mom was one of the guards.
Yeah. which was lovely. Where was Elliot when he was with Ray, when the FBI came on the street there?
That's what I needed to know too.
Where is that house? Like, well, what part of the institution is
some
that?
Some of the theories was that he was in solitary confinement during that time where Ray had beat him up and
in
then
the basement?
He was in that basement.
Yeah.
And he was put in solitary confinement by Ray. So maybe he was in Max, maybe he was in another part of the prison that was separated from, you know, everybody else, general population. So I think that I'm thinking that maybe Ray was a warden or he was some sort of authority figure or he actually
that makes
was an
more
employer.
And more sense.
But I would also say that
the times that he was alone would have been solitary or just you leave a prisoner in a basement. But I think the literal him walking down the stairs while FBI agents storm a room.
But the way that they stormed it.
But they could have stormed a room inside a prison.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where they wouldn't have.
And they would have if Ray was a warden that.
Yeah. But they wouldn't have messed with a fellow prisoner.
Yeah.
Who was exiting the room.
Well, that was why.
Well,
I mean,
maybe they would have.
But the way that they handled him, even though they basically said, like, just stay right here.
Yeah, they handled
him like somebody who belonged there, but
somebody who would take an order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leading me to believe that he left the warden and or counselor's office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI stormed it, and they were like, prisoner, stay here.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
That makes sense. I want to think.
It's gotta be.
I was still just like, I really wanted to see in that little montage. I wanted to see Ray's office. I didn't get
but
to.
But the crowd. So like, well, but I think it? I think Ray's office was Ray's office.
It was his office.
Complete with an American flag.
I just went and like, a house and the streets, and I'm sure it was just. I think that's what it's got to be, right? Like, I think we're all.
I mean, he imagined the street, you know.
I'm sure we'll find out next episode.
Of course.
It kind of explains the Red Wagon book too, of how creepy and weird, like. Because if you put that in a neighborhood, like, why is that lady just hanging out? Yeah. She could hang out anywhere in the whole neighborhood.
Which I think you had said that that was...
Carla is played by a transgendered model named Eve Lindley.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very helpful, that too, sense. Because it's...
A male prison.
It's a male prison, so a transgender... Yeah. Great. I want to say we've seen Ray's office. That's what Ray's office looks like. We've seen Ray's dog. We've seen the guards. The guards are in on Midland City. And what grounds us in this reality that he absolutely remigrated a terrible website and then ultimately took down its owner.
Yeah.
Is that he went on an IRC and he talked to Darlene.
Yeah.
Mm.
That would be the grounding part for me.
If that's what the Society people were reacting to.
Well, two weeks ago, he went on an IRC to specifically talk to Darlene. It was an IRC that they had been on, a channel they leave open for themselves.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, so remember when we had that moment where they're like, what is, like, where they're like, oh, when is this happening? You know, like, Darlene and the rest of the F Society people?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they were responding to Elliot?
I think so.
Or is that?
Yeah. I think he connected with them.
Cool.
I mean, overall, I think they underestimated Elliot's ability. Because I think that the other guy who was helping him with the hack, I think we know now, was another prisoner or another inmate. Mm-hmm. So,
which would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, which was why, you know.
I have trouble with that one slightly, because there was that scene a few 4 or 5 episodes ago with it's RT and his whole family's in that shot as well, in that scene. Don't you remember that? His wife and his kids are in that shot. It's the first time he's being threatened, RT is.
Maybe he's out and they keep bringing him back.
That's why there's a few little loose
there's
ends.
There's some loose ends there.
Of course there's some loose ends.
But I think we can all agree that Midland City was an actual website.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And that it was that Elliot was able to access a terminal in prison?
A prison, yeah.
Okay.
Which...
Because I've read a few comments that are like, nope, it's actually a cigarette ring. Or, like, it's actually just a prison ring. And, I don't think it goes that lateral.
But I think it would make sense because it's like hiding in plain sight. You know? Like, the last place that you would kind of look for criminal behavior would be from people who are in charge of a prison, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of genius that they would actually set it up on those servers. Or would try and set it up at the prison servers, because who's really going to be looking? You know what I mean?
That is interesting.
They're not looking there for those particular reasons.
Susan, the super fan, I think has it spot on as well. I think she read that article saying that actually, and I was going to say for predictions actually, that we will find out in the next few episodes.
Yeah. That seems likely.
We'll find out.
About Ray. There's a little more to Ray.
Because that was not... That didn't quite put a bow on it for me.
This explains why Krista was giving such terrible therapy.
Sure. You know, it also explains why Elliot got his Adderall from Leon.
Yes.
Why Elliot,
Yeah, explains a lot. Right. It's actually worth a bit of a brush up of a rewatch of season 2.
Yeah, I kind
of
want to go back now. Now that I know for sure, I kind of
want to check it out. So I think maybe season 3, they're going to make a really obvious turn that they won't make, because these first 2 seasons they've had what now seems like an incredibly obvious turn. This one was a little more hidden, maybe just because I didn't catch it.
I wanted to ask one question. When we realize he's in prison and we see all the imagery now come back of the real world he's in, he bumped into a prisoner, and next to the prisoner said "not an exit," and I know that means something, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if you guys caught that. It's a door, and it says "not an exit" in big bold letters.
In the prison,
as he's walking out, they're playing the music, and it's when he says "let's shake on it." Right before he goes to his cell, he bumps into a prisoner, and it says "not an exit." Right, it's in huge letters.
Yeah,
and you know that's always a clue for something. So for the chat room, if you guys can answer that, hive mentality. Let's all figure it out. I think it's.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course.
Is that like a standard thing? Is that a standard thing in prisons?
No, I don't think.
To say not an exit.
I feel like you asked Steve that.
By the way,
he's been to his fair share of prisons.
I feel like I've seen doors that say not an exit.
Yeah, but
not
it's there for a reason.
Yeah, but of course.
In a prison where nothing's an exit?
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
And you wouldn't have, this is an exit, you know, for a bunch of inmates, too. So,
exit, well, it could just mean exit to the yard. To the outside contained.
On a normal prison, yes. Yeah. But in a Sam Esmail prison world, yeah, of course, there's a reason why those words are there.
Yeah. I want to think that it's symbolic for the prison, not necessarily that there's something physical behind the door. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Are we ready to jump
into predictions?
We're ready to
dive on into these?
Let's do it.
Somebody said, could it just be a door?
So there you go. Sometimes it's just a door.
This show brings out the best and worst in us.
Thanks,
sorry,
PC.
Guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I have any. I think I'm just going to throw it to everyone.
Man, I'm having
Tyrell
a
is not
time.
Dead. I don't think he's dead.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to ask if what we think
I
about
think
that.
Elliot being in prison was orchestrated between White Rose / Dark Army. I think that Tyrell is in Dark Army's custody. I think he's been captured by them, but I think he's still alive. Because Mr. Robot... Okay, first of all, I don't think that, of course, he wasn't shot in the arcade. Because the FBI scrubbed that place from head to toe immensely once they figured out what F Society was. So I think that they would have found traces of some type of blood or something, and they would have run it, and they would have realized it was Tyrell. Never made any mention of that. That could be an oversight on my part, but I don't think that he was shot. I think that Mr. Robot just said that to him, and he gave that information up so quick. You know, he had been fighting him on it. So he was like, all right, I'll just tell you. It just seemed too easy. Sure. So I don't think he's dead. I don't think that Mr. Robot really... I think he knows what happened to him, but I think he's keeping it under wraps because there's something else going there with White Rose. Some type of agreement that Mr. Robot made with White Rose or the Dark Army that he doesn't want Elliot to know about. So I think that we'll figure that out eventually. And I think that the FBI diversion, rather, was to kind of keep them away from what's going on with the hack with Tyrell and Dark Army.
I like
That's going to be my... And I'm out of here, people. All right.
I think Price wants the U.S. He wants all world economies to fail.
Yeah.
So he can step up with E-Coin as the one world currency.
Yeah. That's good.
I think the Dark Army, for whatever reason, wants to back him on this. And they are a part of, hence your shirt, the New World Order or the ruling class. Or... dare I say the bourgeoisie? I think that's actually happening in a show that's primarily focused on the duality of a couple different people and hacking. There's also like a very deep subversive anti-capitalism sentiment, which is funny because this show is so commercial.
Yeah.
Right.
The show is literally in a bunch of commercials. You just talked about an app. You can buy that mask for $12.99.
I love
that. To talk about duality, I love that this show can have a duality of being both corporate and anti-corporate at the exact same time, and I love it.
So smart.
I'm going to piggyback off what you said about Tyrell being alive, because first off, Mr. Robot said, I shot him.
He never said he killed him.
He never said he killed him, so I'm leaning towards, and I did an official, unofficial poll on my Twitter, and most people said he's alive.
All right, well, then that's all you need. That's all the evidence you need.
But, now, in keeping with what Sam Esmail was saying about this being Empire, if that's true, season one, it was the victory. We brought down E-Corp. We did the hack. The darkness. So we're still waiting for a bigger shoe to drop at the end. And picking back on with what you said, I think that's going to be the big dark moment at the end of I'm going with the final prediction of this season.
Okay.
I think it's just the new currency will come in. Things will only get darker.
Yeah.
Only darker. And it's going to be such an incredible end that we're all going to be saying, there's no way he's going to get out of this. And it's going to be so dark, just like Empire ended.
Mm-hmm.
Just darkness, and we won't know in season three.
Not all of us have seen Empire.
It ends in darkness.
Throwing
yeah.
that into the universe.
Just know that
what?
You can't watch every show.
Yeah, so many shows.
And no, Empire Strikes Back, Holmes.
I take it all back.
Now you're talking about the Fox show Empire. Maybe Sam Esmail's really into Empire.
Like, cool. We're going to model Mr. Robot after Empire.
Season Shout one. Out to Cookie. Yeah. Oh, that's why Cookie Lion was on that show. Shout out to Fox.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Cookie. Lucius. Okay. Lucius Cookie. Cookie was in the prison. Yeah. In the prison. Oh, she was in the prison with
Taylor. Save us. Taylor.
Sense.
Someone listening to my voice right now felt the exact same way.
That was so funny.
No, but I mentioned in the article you modeled it after Empire Strikes Back.
No. What you said makes perfect sense.
And now Elliot's going to start a music career and it makes sense. Okay, got it.
With the Ziona Tiger. Yeah.
I would like to keep the piggyback train alive. I think that not only is Tyrell alive, that him, Joanna, and Mr. Robot are in cahoots against Elliot. And Elliot's on the outside. That's why Elliot's... That's why he was told Elliot something that seems so simple. You know what I mean? I think that what's going to happen as we see the show go on is because Elliot, we saw him just a couple episodes ago, really start to trust Mr. Robot, right? And now I really just... He gave it away too easy. Like, I think that he is lying to Elliot. Yeah. I think we're going to see Mr. Robot get the upper hand and become the predominant personality. Because the show is called Mr. Robot. Yep. It's not called Elliot. So, you know, I think that we're going to see that happen. I think this was a big turning
point. So that Mr. Robot will take over Elliot. Yeah. Completely. Do we think season three will be a struggle for Elliot to come back?
I think that he'll struggle, yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows what will happen?
Elliot's mentioned it. He said, you've won. He said that in the last 2 weeks. He's said that. You've won. You've taken. He said, no, I haven't, you know? So
at some point in the next 3 weeks, he's going to actually win.
Yeah. But I think he still needs Elliot. So he has to be there in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, well, he can't go full Mr. Robot because I think there are still aspects of Elliot. I mean, they're both useful to each other. You know what I mean? So
I'm wondering what it's going to do for us as an audience because we, you know, Elliot is our narrator. Yeah. Like, he is who we're connected to. Yeah. And like we have a direct line of communication with him, but we don't have that with Mr. Robot. Yeah. We don't, like, Mr. Robot does not speak to us.
Yeah. So that we think, you know, either one of two things will happen. Mr. Robot will start getting that relationship with us, or the narrative will shift to not have a voiceover.
I think,
and we go from being narrated to just becoming observers. And that feels more like this show.
Yeah.
And that feels more like this show. And I also think
that we won't hear from Elliot for like 3 weeks and then I'm like, I came back.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Well,
and we might even have a narrator in Elliot just now. He's not in control anymore. Yeah. And he's just kind of like with us watching what happens.
You know is he doing that? He shouldn't. He really shouldn't do that.
Stop hitting myself. Stop hitting myself.
Stop hitting myself. Stop hitting myself.
Too good.
I think we just about wrapped this up.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Nice little bow. In the meantime, if people want to tell you guys how great your predictions were, how great we are on this show, all your Mr. Robot theories, starting to my far left, Jason Rubio, where can the people find you?
Once again, thank you, guys. Keep sharing. Keep the dialogue going. Go to Ace... I can't even talk right now. Right. I'm so mind
numb. AC Rubio.
Yeah.
AC Slater. Yeah.
JC Rubio TV on Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope.
That's his empire name, everybody. His empire Lucius. Rap name. Yeah, right. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Ashley_Chatman. Check you guys later.
I have been and continue to be Taylor Bolt. You can find me on Twitter at Tabolt. That's B-O-L-D-T. Yeah. Or on Instagram at T-Bolt.
In this universe.
I am Steve Kaufman in this universe. You can find me on Twitter in this universe at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. Speaking of Star Wars, special shout out to Loot Crate who gave me this shirt from their special Star Wars Loot Crate.
Nice.
Which would have made it real weird if I hadn't seen Empire Strikes Back. Also on Earth 379, I'm at Jess Klein 1. Some people who watch After Buzz will know that reference. Thank you guys, and
we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
AfterBuzz TV.
Hi, I was once like
you. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.